Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Sylvia.
And we're the co-founders of Mind Team Solutions.
And we help leaders leverage communication and relationships to drive success.
I wanted to talk about in relation to positivity, because you know, there's obviously, if we're going to talk about positivity, then what's the opposite of that? It's going to be the negativity. And and one of the categories is basically shut down conversation, which is, you know, we tried that, it didn't work, but a year ago, can't be done, blah, blah, blah. That's all shut down. And what I call that is being a force for negative possibility. And, Wow. And so that is a dysfunctional communication style, because if somebody usually does that, then that's what they're doing. They're shutting down forward action and possibility. Whereas being a force for positive possibility is continually looking at and formulating solutions to whatever the situation is.
There's been, the positivity thing we had talked about briefly last year with you, the other end of things, there have been, interestingly, for the first week of the year, one article in the Wall Street Journal, one article in the Washington Post, both, and I'm doing a Toastmaster speech next week on a little bit of this, they were both focused on the negative. We've always heard, we've all heard that it takes X number of positive experiences or touch points to balance out one negative. These two articles were referencing one set of research. They were saying, apparently, their current research is it takes four. I thought it was more, but it takes four positive experiences or touch points in order to balance out one negative.
So counter a negative, yeah.
They use this thing about the rule of four is what their thing is, and it was talking. And of course, you know, it's easier to think. We think quicker and easier on the negatives than we do on the positives, and of course, then the advice. The ending of the Toastmaster speech is going to be, I have a little log, a little form that has three positive blocks and then one or four positive blocks and one negative block. And is it for every negative thing that happens to you today during the day, you know, fill this out and then think of three positives, no matter how small. And then over time, you'll have a journal that, you know, that's your positivity journal. That's my little shtick for the Toastmaster speech. But it's been interesting to me that both resources talk about that and really focus on the negative, eliminating or minimizing the negative rather than emphasizing the positive, because it's that negative that we act on. You know, we trainers get 20 people in the room, we get 19 evaluations that say this was good training. And we get that one that says the training sucked. And we're just like, oh, it was awful. Well, and we laser on that.
Exactly. And to go back to bank, what I wonder is if a higher action person would not be as affected. It might only take two positives to get them back on track, as opposed to the if the four is an average, then you think about the nurturers, they're going to probably take a lot more before they get back in, because nurturers don't react well to negative.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and they need other people's, they need validation from others.
Yeah. And there is I think we talked about this, and Mark, I'm sure in your world, as a psychologist, you know, doing this, but the motivation factor in terms of what motivates people, right?
Right.
People are more motivated by avoiding fear and pain as opposed to gaining pleasure, right? So yeah. That sort of is another way of looking at it, but sort of proves the same point, you know, that, you know, fear, you know, loss and danger and protecting yourself and loss is so painful. We try to avoid it at all costs. And that's why so many people are risk averse and try, you know, entrepreneurship,
yeah.
It's not for everybody, all these, you know, whatever, you know, scenario or situation you want to put it in. But time and time again, that's sort of the underlying motivation between, you know, kind of behind a lot of this.
Well, and I call it, I mean, that's instinctive. The instinctive center wants to avoid risk. You know, it wants to sit in one spot and watch for risk wherever it is and do whatever it can to minimize it.
I think these authors talked about that's the caveman.
What
we humans were bred to do. It's like keep an eye out on the negative because that was a matter of survival back then.
Yeah.
I would be interested since, because this is the book when we started talking about it, it's called Positivity, and I realize, at least for my screen, it looks backwards.
That's the guy, I think.
Barbara Fredrickson?
Oh, no, this was a guy who wrote it.
I'd be interested in knowing, but this is the book, and this is the one that talked about positivity in teens and the research that they did, because they have an assessment that measures your positivity ratio. And they said when they applied it to teens, that the highest performing teens had like a 6-to-1 positivity ratio, whereas the worst performing teens were like a 1-to-1, you know, positivity ratio. So they were able to make a correlation between positivity and performance.
Very cool.
She also, I think, talks about a natural ability.
Yes.
And that some people really have to work harder to be and stay positive. And some people have a natural ability to do that.
Yes.
I've seen other statistics, and I don't have them all off the top of my head, so forgive me. But, you know, there's something, we have like 50,000 thoughts a day, give or take, and like 70% of them are actually negative thoughts.
I wonder what this is going to happen.
Right. So, you know, how do you mitigate that? And that's, you know, so much now about, you know, research on yoga, meditation, you know, these sort of like, you know, techniques to sort of mitigate some of this grateful journaling, you know, type of things, being, you know, what you write about, what you're grateful for and positives. I think these are all tools to kind of counterbalance some of the stressors and, you know, kind of current day circumstances that we have to deal with, you know, to, you know, as a tool to sort of to balance some of that. So again, I think it's all sort of wrapped up in those ideas.
Yeah, that's the article. For the new year, say no to negativity. James Yang, Wall Street Journal article.
Very interesting stuff. We need to do the best we can to raise our thoughts to a more positive level and consciously, whenever we're thinking something, go, what's the higher thought? What's going to get me farther down the road in a positive way? And it's an interesting thing to practice because it doesn't come naturally. It has to be a conscious effort.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the rumble strip analogy, right? You know, sort of like you want to catch yourself in a negative thought pattern before you go over the guardrail, right? Notice where you're starting to veer off the
road. Oh, yeah, exactly. The rumble strip. Yeah, there you go.
I like that. You know, kind of, I'm in the rumble strip. I'm not in a tree across the ravine.
Right, exactly.
Because
let's not get there.
It's too hard to, you know, you don't want to put the parachute on after you're already out of the plane, right? You want to kind of catch yourself a little bit sooner, so to speak.
That's a pretty good analogy.
And it's sort of the, you know, tuning into a vibration. You know, if thoughts are things, you know, what frequency do you want to be on? It's another way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah. But it goes back to what you just said about the rumble strips. It goes back to self-awareness, which is one of the components of emotional intelligence.
Definitely.
Is you have to be aware of what you're thinking and feeling. And it, just like everything else, there are people on a spectrum. You know, I am extremely self-aware. And
it seems to come naturally to her.
And Mark, it takes him.
Huh?
How are you feeling today? And he's like, you know, what are you thinking? You know, because it's not a natural tendency.
How are you feeling right now? I mean, I ask that of my clients all the time. It's like, but if somebody asks that of me, it's kind of like being behind the camera. The people who are the most nervous and difficult to work with are the people that are behind the camera most of the time. And then they get in front of the camera and they're going, holy crap, this is difficult. This is hard. I don't like this. Yeah. Famous line, Peter O'Toole line in My Favorite Year. He says, I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star. Because they wanted him to do the, you know, it was a variety show and they were all live back in the late 60s. And so they brought him in and, you know, he's getting ready to go. He's got his little skit outfit on and he says, you know, I'm feeling really good today. I bet we can do this in 2 takes. And the guy goes, there aren't 2 takes. This is live. And he says, you mean whatever I'm doing goes into that camera and just spills out into the entire world or whatever? And that's when he said, I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star.
Yeah.
But yes, the whole point here is there are things that come naturally to some people that don't come so naturally to others. And those mm-hmm. have to be factored in when we're talking about these kinds of things, positivity, et cetera.
Yes. One of our clients, when we met with the organization as a whole, somebody brought up that they didn't feel safe going to their manager, because I think the topic had been brought up, you should be able to go to your manager with a concern. And there was a lot of dissension and a lot of feedback that said no. I mean, maybe there are some things, but, you know, not everything, you know, do they feel confident about and or safe about. And so that's another thing, is how do you, that culture of positivity and trust and all of that, how does a manager create that? And it has to start from within. Mm-hmm. And there has to be that, you know, that awareness of themselves. What are they doing that is potentially causing their direct report to not trust
yeah.
them to be able to come to them with a true concern.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed today's episode.
And if you like what you heard, share this with others and connect with us at mindteamsolutions.com.